a blessing it is to be alive on this first day of the week, to be able to gather together. Another time on a Sunday evening, that was just so strange not to be able to do that last week when we were out of town. They had extended services on Sunday morning. So it's a blessing to be able to gather together to sing praises to our God, to be encouraged towards love and towards good deeds, to live for Jesus as we have just sung, and continuing with some more thoughts on from this morning on integrity. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we mentioned this morning this passage, show yourself in all respects, being a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And so we ask the question this morning, are you a vessel of integrity? The fact that the Lord knows those who are His, and the whole thing is the Lord knows us inside and out, whether we truly have integrity or not. And since we are created in the image of God, of course, He desires that we glorify God in our bodies, whether we're before others or by ourselves in the world or among our brethren. So we want to be a vessel for honorable use, to be set apart as holy, to be useful to the Master, for the house to be ready for every good work. So as we talked about the definition, mentioned the definition this morning, it's a compound definition here in dictionary.com, adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character or honesty, the state of being whole, entire, or undiminished, a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition. And we remember that Jesus always spoke the truth, that He made watertight arguments that His enemies couldn't answer, and they were silenced as a result. And so some new points for this evening, as Brother Carl had mentioned at the end of the lesson, our familiar statement was, loose lips sink ships, but what he said would have fit to leaky lips sink ships also. So concerning our tongues, are you a vessel of integrity? When we think about the scriptures, we are always to speak the truth in love. And that's what Ephesians 4, verse 15, and also Ephesians 4, verse 25 says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 24 through 26, the Apostle Paul is speaking here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, it said, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently endure evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So as you think about the gospel, Jesus wanted the gospel preached to every creature. And as we have prayed this evening, and as we think about our daily lives, the whole point is concerning being a vessel of integrity is that we want more souls to be saved because it's what Jesus wants. And the whole thing is we have to have that integrity to study the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to have a love for souls so that they might be saved. And also the restoration of souls. In Galatians chapter 6, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him, notice how, in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so as we think about Brother Keith, we think about Caroline, we think about others that need to be restored, and we hope and pray that that is the case, that we continue not only for the lost souls, but also for the restoration of souls, to recognize that it's very important that we not lose sight and think about, well, you know, they've chosen their path. I didn't have this one in the list, but James 5, verse 19 and 20, James 5, verses 19 and 20, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will, save his soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. Maybe you can stop and think about maybe a time in your life when somebody, some Christian, had a love and care and concern for your soul and didn't give up on you, didn't give up on me, and sought your restoration or sought your obedience to the gospel and being a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you think about being useful in the service of our Lord, no credit goes to ourselves, but to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want souls to be saved. Well, unfortunately, there are those who like that juicy gossip and want to spread that gossip and try to ruin others. And of course, Satan is going to be able to use those kind of individuals to destroy the rest of the brethren, to cause problems, to cause issues, to lead others astray. In Proverbs chapter 16, there are many passages that warn about gossip. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, the scripture says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Think about concerning your closest of friends. You might tell secrets to, and you think that it's going to be safe with them, and how terrible and tragic that they can't keep that confidence, and they spread it to others, thus maybe ruining your reputation, ruining your influence, and maybe causing a rift with other members of the family or your spiritual family also. In chapter 18, verse 8, Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. It's tasty to some people, enjoyable to somebody to be able to destroy, but it causes strife, it causes problems, it causes divisions. When you look upon Timothy, wasn't one to gossip. He taught the truth. We see that he had a good reputation already with the brethren of Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. And thus in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul saw his influence and met him and wanted to take him on his preaching journey. In Acts chapter 16, when we're first introduced to Timothy, in Acts chapter 16, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. It's a matter of influence, that's why he did it. Not recognizing circumcision is a matter of salvation, like under the old law, you had to be circumcised to be in a covenant relationship with God. It was a matter of influence, the reason why he did that. And so as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So we see his influence and his love for souls, that he desired to go with the Apostle Paul. He went with him. We remember John Mark had turned back as a young person earlier, not too long before this. So I'm sure he was encouraged by Timothy and by his example in teaching the truth. In Philippians chapter 2, after a period of time, we see how much he loved Timothy and saw his love for souls in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, a hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will genuinely concern for your welfare, For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So as you'll notice the contrast between most of the individuals, hey, it's all about me. Does that sound familiar to us? most people are looking out for, number one, even concerning those who are Christians, but you can trust in Timothy, as he's telling the Philippian brethren here, no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. He told the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 17. After he mentioned, be imitators of me, he said, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. And so, of course, we see the Apostle Paul in his integrity. Timothy has that integrity too. Yes, he will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. He will teach the same things. He will teach the truth. And that's what we desire, that each and every one, as Christ is head of all things of the church, which is his body, and we're responding to the head, and that we're all teaching the truth, and that we have a genuine love for souls. We see one individual who did not have love for souls, Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence, as mentioned in 3 John. As you look at the Bible, we see the contrast between good and evil. And here, as the Apostle John is writing in 3 John to Gaius, here in 3 John, he warns about him. I have verse 9, I have written something to the church. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. A lot of individuals not respecting the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Diotrephes has such a great influence and impact and evil. Notice in verse 10, he said, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. Other translations would say, gossiping or falsely accusing us in this passage. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church, as if he had the power to do that from a physical standpoint, that concerning that power and influence. Can you imagine concerning faithful brethren here? And because you're preaching the truth, because you're making application of the truth, because you want souls to be saved and to be restored, and you want to practice discipline in accordance with the will of God, you're out of the church. We're going to put you out of the church. Of course, that doesn't mean he had the power to do so, because Christ knows those who are his. As you mentioned there in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 19. And so he was not a vessel of integrity, and he had to be warned against to our beloved brother Gaius. Also, are you honest in all your dealings, or do you leak lies? Isn't it interesting, you know, concerning our newspapers and so on, and this was leaked, and they're not going to give who the person was. It's just a terrible thing that you would have print concerning leaking. And a lot of times it's lies. Maybe it might be the truth or lies. You don't ever know about that. But concerning us, as you think about our integrity, concerning does maybe even white lies, little quote-unquote white lies as the world looks upon it, and maybe even making people feel good. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul speaks these words in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. We want to do all things honorable in the sight of all. In Luke chapter 16, when you think about concerning minor things, well, you know, somebody might say, well, this is a minor thing of what I had done. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, one who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. As we think about coming up, you may have already done your taxes, I don't know, but as hard as honest in our dealings with our taxes, Are we telling the truth to others? So oftentimes you see in movies and TV shows concerning, I hear somebody calling for an individual and tell them I'm not here. Or just telling things to others that are untrue. Now I recognize as I'm getting older and so on, I might forget some things. And so it's sort of like, okay, you have to be patient and long-suffering concerning an individual. Did they realize what they were saying? But the whole thing is, as much as it lies within us, we want to be honorable inside of others. Well, you know, lies, everybody tells lies, right? I mean, because in our Bible study in Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be found true, though every man be a liar, right? So if everybody else is lying, let God be found true, and you speak the truth. For in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, the warnings for us, even in a very little thing, Revelation 21 verse 8, especially in the eyes of men, it's not little in the eyes of God, for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and notice it, and some liars, or most liars, no, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Do I want to make sure that concerning your integrity and my integrity as far as what we say, that others can depend upon, that we are going to do what we say we're going to do, if at all possible. Obviously, there are some maybe hindrances that would prevent us from doing that, that we used to say in the past concerning what? A word is our bond. You know, sign a contract concerning shaking hands, and the word is our bond. Of course, where is that today? Are you honest in all your dealings and even a very little thing? Because if you're honest in a very little thing, think about concerning character, and I'm like, I'm going to do what's right if no one else is looking, because I know God is watching at all times. And you never know who might be watching or listening, as I think about an incident this past week. When you look at concerning a vessel of integrity, there are many individuals that we can mention from the Old Testament, but especially Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, you think about being taken captive and you've done nothing wrong. It was a matter of the warnings from God's word concerning those who were disobedient. They would go into captivity. Daniel and his three friends went over there. And we see concerning Daniel and his influence right from the beginning that he made up his mind that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's dainties. I mean, you think about the danger of death there. And the influence that he had there with the king and doing what is right, to eventually the king praises the God of heaven whom he served. In Daniel chapter 6, as the kingdom is taken away, Belshazzar, remember seeing the handwriting on the wall, and in accordance with God's word concerning the kingdoms that were going to fall, and Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom was going to fall. Now the Medes and the Persians are taking over. Now look at the influence as you look upon Daniel and the kingdom. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. He had integrity all of his life. And they saw that, whereby that influence that he had upon the king wanted to set him over the whole kingdom. Well, as you think about those in power, and as you think about politics and the influence concerning trying to take somebody who's down, who has character, because they want that powerful position. And so in verse 4, the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for a complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, trying to dig up some dirt on them, on him, as you think about today. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault. Why? Because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. As you think about concerning all the, I mean, it's very unlikely as you look upon other politicians, as you look throughout time, how wicked and sinful and evil they were. And Daniel has the reputation of having this integrity. So what do these men say? What do they know about him? We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So we're going to find a way. We're going to get him to disobey God. Does that sound familiar in the New Testament also? As far as the apostles, don't preach or teach at all in his name any longer. Be put in prison. And they were, the apostles were in prison later on. What did Daniel continue to do? Here, they are able to get the king to sign a decree not to petition any god for 30 days. Why did they do that? Because they knew Daniel was faithful to God. They knew that he would continue to pray 3 times a day. We have that vessel of integrity to whereby we're going to continue to be faithful to God, even if it caused our imprisonment, if we violate the laws of men in order to obey God, because that might be a challenge for the coming years, the coming decades. We don't know as far as that goes in our life. Are we prepared for that? Because if we're not prepared for that, are we really a true servant? Are we truly a vessel of integrity? We have these examples for us for a purpose. As we think about concerning God's word and God's will and God's way and his providence, these things might happen. And so we look at Daniel in continuation here in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and did what? As you think about the decree, you can think about some being frustrated and it's not fair that I can't pray to God any longer according to the law. And they're just trying to get my position of power, of somebody who's power hungry. And so as a result, okay, I won't pray for 30 days to God. No, he's always done that. And notice how he addresses God, that he is thankful to God. You look at the circumstances. Sometimes people that look at the circumstances, it's not fair, it's not right, I'm not going to serve God anymore. No, he had done that every day of his life. It was his custom to pray 3 times a day and give thanks to God as he had done previously. And so, verse 11, as expected here, these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition. It's just sort of like sometimes as you look upon, here are those who are just, and we're going to make sure we catch them in the act and to be able to report it to the king, because you can't change the law of the Medes and the Persians, and he'll be thrown into the lion's den, and we'll get rid of Daniel. No, and so they saw Daniel make a petition and plea before God, and they came near and said, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." They answered and said, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king." You think about concerning the power of the king. He doesn't pay any attention to you. Or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. The king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. Because here he saw that he had the character. He had integrity within him. And he finally realizes concerning what they were doing. He labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these came by agreement The law can't be changed, verse 15. And so the king commanded, verse 16, cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Kind of makes you think immediately about what? About Jesus. And, you know, this deceiver said to the authorities that he's going to rise from the dead 3 days. And so they made sure the tomb was secure, which gives more evidence to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, trying to do all that they can. It can't be changed. And so the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose, went in haste to the den of lions. The whole thing is that he had to have some kind of faith to realize maybe the God he serves will deliver him. Because what's the point of going there if he's going to be dead? As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, as your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions. Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My king, my God, send his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Why? Because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Integrity. Then the king was exceedingly glad, commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, and he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You need to think about that. If Daniel did not have that integrity, would that have ever happened? It would have never happened. Concerning that decree going out, concerning one person and his influence, because he was a vessel of integrity for God. And so he continued to pray 3 times a day against the laws of the land, but God delivered him. And his accusers were killed by those same lions. Wow, what a powerful testimony concerning the faith that he had in God and God delivering him because of his integrity. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, along with your neighbor as yourself? This is the greatest commandment in Matthew 22 and verses 37 through 39. As we look and examine our heart, as we think about all of our intellect, our emotions, our conscience, and our will, you think about so many people are conflicted in their minds, and maybe they know what's right. They have the intellect. They understand the truth. Here, as they would have maybe a godly sorrow or worldly sorrow, saying, I'm sorry. And that's enough. That's the way my conscience is clear. But the whole thing is that how can your conscience be clear as the response of baptism? We mentioned this morning, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The answer of a good conscience, as baptism now saves you, having that conscience, but having the will that I am going to obey with every fiber of my being. We look at the Apostle Paul. He did in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul says these words to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord overflowed with me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners among of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. Think about the realization of him destroying the church, which he thought he was doing God's will, and the realization of that, the grace and mercy and love of the Lord that he had, so that he could say, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live how? I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. A vessel of integrity, loving the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and his neighbor as himself. We think about it, 1 Corinthians 13. And, Jeff, that song was very powerful concerning these things abiding, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If you have faith that can move mountains, you're willing to give all your possessions to feed the poor. You deliver your body to be burned. You're willing to do all of that. But you don't have love, you're nothing. As you think about concerning being a vessel of integrity, it's got to come out of love. For God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And his love and being willing to make that sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Are you a vessel of integrity or not? Examine yourselves. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you need to obey the gospel, why are you waiting? Obey the gospel, be baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you need to be restored, God calls. We encourage you to come. Right now is your stand and sing.